Broadcasted live. Catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.
Well, many of you would be well aware that typically here on the show, we speak to investment institutions. Just this past weekend, we had a phenomenal education exchange with ETFSA, and a few questions were raised around the sustainability of the organization, its reputation, and of course, if it is recognized with the relevant institutions. And this is one key theme that all of us should be asking about any institution that we trust with our money. Are they registered as a financial services provider? Do they have the necessary recognition with the FSCA? That's the Financial Sector Conduct Authority. Well, beyond that, we asked this question because the FSCA itself has been ramping up the war on scammers with almost 1 billion rand in penalties issued and over 1,000 licenses suspended. It's doing a good job. Let's find out how they're doing it. Gerard van Deventer, who's the Divisional Executive of Enforcement at the FSCA, joins us now for more insight. Such a pleasure to have you with us, Gerard.
Thank you very much, Gugulethu. Pleasure to be here.
I'm excited for this conversation and really appreciative that you've made time because this gives us much better perspective into the role function of the FSCA and most importantly, how as an industry body, you've really been making sure you put up a fight against financial scammers. Maybe let's just start there. The FSCA being a regulatory body, but also helping to encourage alignment, control, structure and regulation in the space.
Yes, thank you very much. It's obviously always an uphill battle, but there's basically two sides to it, Gugulethu. The one side is that we keep a very keen eye on regulated entities. In other words, entities and persons that are actually licensed with us, and that is in terms of frameworks on how to act and codes of conduct, etc. And it's all cemented nicely into the law. So that gives us powers of investigation. We can impose sanctions and so forth. And then there's the other side, what I call the border patrol. That's the scammers and the unregistered business and so forth that almost always lead to substantial harm to the public. And that in my division, the enforcement division, that makes up a big part of the job. And that is obviously what many of the penalties are all about.
I'm so glad you mentioned this. It's almost, I recall it, an image depicting a referee and a police officer showing the role of the FSCA. But let's first start by looking at scammers, because this is something that directly impacts us as South Africans. And sometimes we're told to invest in cryptocurrencies. Other times we're told to invest in strawberry farms, piggeries, and we're not even sure if these institutions are well recognized or identified. So maybe let's just start there, the rate of financial scams that you've witnessed and the kind of effort that the FSCA has put in place.
Thank you. I really appreciate you asking that question, because if there's one message that I would love to get out there, and I do this at every opportunity, is please, the public must be beware of this. And the ones you've mentioned is very much what is happening now. That's in high fashion at the moment. You spoke about the strawberry farms. Yes, we have picked up on as a trend that there's quite an increase in people offering livestock and agricultural product as a ring-fenced investment and annual share in, you know, whatever comes from that. And the point is twofold. The first point is, if you're going to do that, you're still taking deposits from the public, so you still need to be licensed. So if you are dealing with somebody who does not have an FSCA, FSP license, then please don't do it, because no good can come out of that. If you're dealing with somebody that does not want to operate inside of the law, the second part of that, you've led
and
to the really sad.
We are at liberty to ask, right, Gerard? Sorry, just to jump in there. We are at liberty to actually ask. Let me see your FSP license. What's your FSP license number, right?
Absolutely. It's imperative that you ask that. In fact, we have a rule to say you must display it on your communications. On your premises. So it's not only ask, you must display it. If it's not there, then that is a problem. But of course, there's never a simple answer, is there? You know that better than most people. So even if you see an FSP license, be very careful, check on our website, because another trend that we've picked up is impersonations. So impersonations of registered people, impersonations of well-known people, and that's part of the deep fake scams issue. And then you won't believe it, but also impersonation of FSCA staff claiming that they can... Yeah, claiming that they can recover your funds for you. So very brazen, to say the least. So yeah, that is definitely that's definitely part of the trends. And you spoke about crypto. You know, it's not illegal to provide financial services in crypto as long as you are licensed to do that. But the big warning there is the public must please keep in mind that crypto is usually sold as a derivative, as a contract for difference, and these are high risk investments, but it's also a nice place for scammers to hide because it's vague and not everybody understands it, so it's easy to come up with a story that people are not going to question. And the trick is certainly question everything, and if you're unsure, speak to a regulated financial services provider. So yeah, there's quite a long list there of interesting trends, but I know we don't have all night.
This is so interesting, Ger. In my mind, I can imagine, goodness, I just applied to be an intern in your office, because the cases that you must see must bring about an overwhelming amount of insight. And I guess it's the cases we've touched on where people try to scam South Africans, but also the headlines that we've witnessed that have influenced pension portfolios and large investment houses. And this also speaks to where you've implemented some key penalties to hold leaders accountable. Let's start off with Steinhoff. Many have complained that it's been a long time coming, but there has been some progress made in holding the business and leadership accountable there.
No, absolutely. And let me be the first one to admit that it's a long time coming. There's no doubt about it. The problem with these things, Googlators, nobody has unlimited resources. And this is not just resources. This is expert resources that is required. And it is a massive investigation, and it's not over yet. So we have the first round with the 20 million penalty on the late Mr. Uster, and then the second round with a 475 million on penalty, and that was, I think, 24 hours before he passed on. So, of course, we've already imposed that penalty. So because this is a, let me call it a civil penalty, an administrative penalty, as opposed to a criminal penalty, we will seek to recover that from his estate. Mm-hmm. There is, of course, a criminal case ongoing, and we are collaborating with the police and the prosecution on that. We're giving substantial support to that. And then there are still outstanding cases with reference to some of the other leaders in the company. So, yes, a massive case, not over yet.
Yeah. Definitely not over yet, but it was great progress that's being made so far with regard to this particular case. There's also been an interesting one in terms of Classic Financial Services, and there were ongoing reports from some of our peers in the media around this Ponzi scheme, which apparently pulled in more than 800 million rand by making promises of extravagant returns. Help us understand, you know, again, maybe just some background as to how the scam worked, and of course the proactive action that's been taken to hold them accountable.
Yes, so Googlator, this is one of those mind-boggling things that the public gets sucked into these things. You know, my favorite sermon is unrealistic returns is your biggest red flag ever. Vague information is another big red flag. And this was typically one of those situations. There was a lot of stories about what financial product would be invested in. But when we do an investigation, we actually do a full forensic investigation. So we also go into the bank accounts, we reconcile, we follow the money, etc. And then we can see there's no engine, there's no investment that can generate these fantastic returns. My bottom line is always, if somebody has this way of generating fantastic returns, he's not going to share it with you. Oh, he's going to keep it. So if you looked at what happened in the bank accounts, it's really a simple case of paying old investors with new investors' funds. And of course, once again, it takes time to put a case like that together. But yes, this is usually where it ends. And of course, we have a success in prosecuting the case, but That doesn't mean that people get their money back. So there's always a really sad part to all of these cases.
That is true. And that's why we need to make sure that South Africans are also a lot more aware of some of these calamities. There's a few other examples we can talk through, BHI Trust as well as Tongaat. But I'm aware that there are some complexities that are involved there. One thing that does stand out for me, though, Gert, for many South Africans, including ourselves as the media, is we ask, when these institutions, the directors and other partners are actually offered these fines that they need to settle, what recourse do we have beyond just a financial claim? Because at times they typically pay off the claim and can come back in a few years' time under different organizations or different schemes. So how do we ensure that there's a true sense of accountability and legal recourse that we can follow through on?
You're absolutely right. It is so important. It's certainly not good enough to just impose a penalty. And before I answer, may I just say, FSA is always very grateful for the Media Corps, because our message of what we do and what you should be careful of and lessons learned and so forth is always carried over and further by the media. So we consider you guys a very important partner for us. So yes, we've we've long passed the point of just imposing penalties, because that only goes that far. Mm-hmm. In cases where we think it's deserving, we will most definitely hand over the case to the criminal authorities, and then we will offer active litigation support going forward. That's the only way. But apart from that, we also have the power to debar persons out of the industry. And you will note in the report in the last, let's call it the last financial year, there were 156 debarments. And of course, then we issue licenses, so we can also take them back. Yeah. So license suspensions, you spoke about it, just over 1,000, and license withdrawals, just over 75. So that 1,000, it's a bit misleading. There's a lot of that has to do with not submitting returns, not paying levies, etc. And then there's the part of that where it follows after a full investigation as a result of dishonest conduct. Mm-hmm. And then we have enforceable undertakings, and we have directives and so forth. So there's more remedies for us on the list, and we use them as much as possible and where they are appropriate.
100%. Gert, to close off with, I guess this question really intrigues me, because so often we know that Tsotsis, if I can call them that way, are very smart. These scammers are smart people. And for us to actually find them and work around their plan, we need to be smarter. So from a skills point of view, how is the FSCA, together with other partners, addressing the necessary technical skills required to identify these scams?
Yeah, well, thanks. That is a very good question. And you are so right. Sometimes I look at a scam and I marvel at the creativity, and I say to myself, can you?
Oh, man, we're going to try to get Gert back there. I was squeezing in one last question before the line cut, but we'll reconnect very shortly. And it's a pertinent question we were asking Gert, who's representing the FSCA, Financial Sector Conduct Authority, giving us some insight as to how they've been holding more businesses accountable, especially on the back of losses that we've been experiencing. Whether it's big businesses like Steinhoff and Tongaat and BHI Trust, or maybe even smaller players who tell you, hey, come invest in a strawberry farm, come invest in a piggery. Ultimately, what we do find is that we do need to be a lot more critical as South Africans. Don't put your money in anything you don't understand. Never put your money in anything you don't understand, anything that isn't registered or that doesn't have the necessary clarity that is required. So that's something you need to be mindful of. Of course, don't be so trusting of individuals who approach you on social media. And I say this deliberately, because so often I actually find that there's been fake social media accounts that are being created in my name, and people then lean on the trust of the information that we give them here on Kayabiz and assume that I, in my independent capacity, will invite them to invest in platforms. No. I hardly talk to people in my DMs. Never mind tell you what to invest in. So it's very important that we understand these dynamics going forward. So ask for a registered license. Make sure you can double check the license. Reach out to the FSCA to approve the details that are shared with you. And make sure that it's a platform that you understand how the returns will be gained. If it's too good to be true, it probably is.
If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.